The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In the beginning of Parashas Tetzaveh, it states, V'atot Tetzaveh b'nei Yisrael, and you shall command the children of Israel, V'yichu eilecho shemen zayis zoch kosis lamor. And you shall take for yourselves oil from the olive. It should be pure, it should be pressed. This should be for the mo'or, for the light. Lahalais ner tomid, in order to bring up a ner, a candle, the light, the candles all of the time. The oil may aid mihutz la pareches asher ala edush yarechei sei arei novono me'erev adboke lifnei Hashem. This should be in the oil ma'ed, the sanctuary, the mishkon. It shall be outside of the pareches. Last week we learned about the mishkon. And the mishkon had, there was the chotzer, the courtyard. And then in the mishkon itself, there were two sections, divided by the pareches, divided by the curtain. There was the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy and the Holy of Holies. This should be outside of the curtain, in the Kodesh. And the curtain is what was in front of the Edus, the testimony, which was the Oren HaKodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yarech Esei Aaron Avonov, Aaron, the Kohen Gadol, and his sons should set these candles up Me'erevat Boker, every evening. They should burn from evening till morning before Hashem. Chukas Olam L'dei Reisam Me'es B'nei Yisrael. This should be a statute forever. Now, this we're referring to the menorah. Last week we learned about the Oren. This week let's learn a little about the menorah. In Parshas Truma, last week's Parsha, there the Torah tells us, this is in Chof Ches, Posuk Lamed Aleph, Vosisa menorah zov tohor, tells us that we shall make a menorah, a candelabra, miksho te osa menorah, shall be made out of pure gold. It should be miksha, it was all one piece of gold, and everything was structured from that one piece of gold. It was not made separate pieces and then smelted together. Yerecho ekono givieho kaftereho frocheho mimenu yu. And the structure of the menorah itself, the Torah tells us, was shishokonim, yeitzi mitzideho. From the center shaft of the menorah, there were six arms that came out. Three from one side and three from the other. And then there was the center shaft. So altogether, there were seven candles, the center, three on one side and three on the other. And this was a very elaborate and the most magnificent work of art. As mentioned, it was made out of pure gold. It had gibieho. These were the shape of cups that protruded from the gold itself. Kaftoreho. These were the shapes of round balls of apples that also protruded from the menorah. Frocheho, it had ornamentation, decoration that were made like flowers. Mishukodim, it had other ornamentation on the menorah. Biosiso esne roseho shivo, it had a total of seven candles, as we mentioned. They were cups which were used to place the oil in it, and the psiles and the wicks.
Veheyer al eber ponecho. And they should burn towards the center. The three on the right, those wicks face the left side. The three on the left, those wicks face the right side. So all of the light was going towards the center. This was contrary to regular light. Usually light you want to face outward, so it gives its light outward. This was facing inward towards the center. The height of this menorah, Rashi brings from the Gemara Menachos Daf Chof Tes, with Gimel Amos, three Amos. This is the height of a person. So it was very high. In Parshas Bahalei Secho, that's in Bamidbor Ches, in the beginning, the Torah tells us, Daber el Aaron v'yamata elov Bahalei Secho esaneiros. Speak to Aaron and say to him, when he lights the candles, but the word is Bahalei Secho, which means when he raises up the fire. What does it mean to raise up? So Rashi brings the old Dosha Rabbeinu Mikan Shemailo Hoyso Lifnei HaMenorah Sho'aleh HaKein Eimei Rumeitiv. That the Kain, there were steps leading up to the menorah, so the Kain could go up and there cleanse and set up all of the candles and light them in order that he could be above it. Now, what was this menorah used for? The Rambam brings in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tamidin U'Musafin, Halacha Yud, Dishun HaMenorah V'Hatovas Aneiros, the cleansing of the menorah and the adjusting of all of the candles and the lighting of the candles. In the morning they would cleanse them, in the Bein HaBoyim, this was in the evening, but before dark, before sunset, in the late afternoon they would light them. Mitzvah Aseh, this is a positive commandment, as it states that Aaron and his sons should see that all of the candles are lit, and this was done tomid, it states, every day. What did they do on Friday? Wasn't a problem, they could light them before Shabbos. But what did they do on Shabbos? They had to be lit before dark. Adlokas aneres deichas haShabbos. This took precedence in the Beis Hamikdash and in the Mishkan over Shabbos. So therefore, these were lit even on Shabbos and even on Yom Tov. At the end of our parsha, this week's parsha, in Parshas Tetzaveh, so there the Torah tells us, right at the end of the parsha in Posuk Ches, "Uva'aleis areinas aneiros bein ha'abayim yaktireno," that when Aaron would raise up the fire bein ha'abayim, which means in the afternoon. So this is where we learn when it had to be lit. Kama shemen hunesin lechol ner, how much oil would be placed in every candle. Chatzi leg shemen, a half of a leg of shemen. A half of a log is a certain measurement. This is approximately 6 ounces. This would be the equivalent of about 3/4 of a normal sized drinking glass. This is the amount of oil which would be placed for each candle in the menorah, in order that it could be delik me'erev ad boker, in order that it could stay lit from the evening until the morning on the longest nights of the year. they placed a constant amount all of the time. So therefore on the shorter nights it would light into the day. On the longer nights it would last the entire light. And then the Rambam explains how the Kohanim would come in the morning, and they would remove all of the old oil and the old wicks and put in new oil and new wicks, and then towards evening they would come and light the menorah. Where was the menorah placed? In the Mishkan. In last week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Hey, the Torah tells us, Perechov Chov Vov Posuk Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalet and Lamed Hey. Then the Torah is telling us that after, when we make the Mishkan, so we should take the Preches, the curtain, and we should put the Oren towards the western end of the Mishkan, and then we should divide the Mishkan with the Pareches, with the curtain. V'hibila Pareches lachem bein HaKodesh uvein Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this curtain now will divide the Mishkan from the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like we explained. V'samto es HaShulchan michutz laparoches. And then we should take the table, and we should put that on the, place that on the outside of the curtain, which was in the Kodesh. Besamenorah nocha hashulchan, and opposite of the table should be the menorah. Al tzela mishkan teimono, it should be on the south side of the mishkan. Bahashulchan titein al tzelen sofen, and the shulchan, the table, should be on the north side. When you entered the mishkan, the sanctuary or the Beis Hamikdash, as it later was on in Yerushalayim, you entered from the east side and you went towards the west. If you were going westward, then north was to your right and south was to your left. So then the table would be on the right and the menorah would be on the left. And this would be in the first chamber of the sanctuary itself. And then you came to the curtain, and then inside the curtain was the Oren. The Oren is what held the Torah and the tablets, like we learned last week. Now there was also a third object in the Kodesh, in this chamber, and that was the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the inner altar. And that was placed in between the table and the menorah, but it was a little further outward. And this Rashi explains. Rashi tells us, he says, Shulchan b'tzofen, the table was on the north side. We said that would be on your right as you were going inward. Moshuch min ha-kesel ha-tzveini shteyamos u-mechsa. And that was away from the north wall, 2.5 amos. Menorah b'dorum. The menorah was on the south side, which would be on your left. Meshucha min ha-kesel ha-dromi shteyamos u-mechsa. And that was away from the wall, 2.5 amos. U-mizbeach ha-zov, the inner Mishbeach, the inner altar, which was known as the golden altar, Nosum Keneger Abir Shebein Shulchan Lev Menorah, that was in between the two, Moshu Kimo Klapi Mizroch, but pulled slightly towards the east, towards the outer part, so it formed a triangle. The Kulam Nesunim Min Chatzia Mishkon Alefnim, and they were all in the inner half of that outer chamber. And then Rashi explained. So as you came into the outer chamber to the Kodesh, so you walked first halfway in, and then in the middle was the altar,
and to the right was the table, and to the left was the menorah. So this was the place of the menorah. But this that we say there was on the left, this was on our left. Actually, it was to the right of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it states, dwelled in the west. The place of the Shekhinah was Maruf, the west. That was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holiest part. That's where the Oren was. So, from his aspect, see, we walk towards him. Then the menorah would be to his right, and the Shulchan would be to his left. Now this gives us some background about the menorah. Now let's try to understand, what did it represent? The sages tell us, this is in the Medrash Rabbah, the beginning of Truma, and in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Ein Beis, and we quoted this last week, that of the four objects that were in the Mishkan, the Heichal, three of them had crowns. The Oren, the Shulchan, the Oren and the table, the Ark and the table, and the Mizbeach, the altar. And each represented a very great, enormous level which was given to Klal Yisrael. The Oren represented Kesher Torah, the crown of Torah, because in the Oren was the Sefer Torah which Moshe wrote, and the tablets, both the broken tablets and the second tablets. The Shulchan, the table, that represented Kesher Malchus, the crown of kingship, because a table represents physical wealth, physical power. And that the Medrash tells us that that went to David HaMelech, King David. The Mizbeach, the altar, which on there were brought the korbanos, the sacrifices, lechaper, to atone for the chatoim, the sins of Israel. This represented Kesher Kuhuna. This was the crown of priesthood, because this was the job of the Kahanim. And this was given to Aaron and his children. Torah was given to everyone. Whoever wanted it, let him come and take it. But what did the menorah represent? The menorah is not numbered amongst these three. Did not have its own crown. Mativu shel menorah, what was its purpose? Another question we can ask. The sages tell us that the Oren HaKodesh, which was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was called Oren. The Ark was called the Oren from the word Or, light. Because Kula Or, it was all light, which represented Or Torah, the light of Torah. But the menorah also was light. The menorah had seven candles, and they were lit every day, and Bahaleish Kres Haneresh, to bring out the light. And the menorah also represented Torah and mitzvahs, as we see from many places. For example, the Gemara and Brochus in Perek Haraya states, Haraya Shemen Zayis Bechalom, if a person in a dream, he dreams of oil, of an oil that comes from olives. This was the oil which was used in the Beis Hamikdash. Yitzper lechochma, let him pray for wisdom. This is a good sign of wisdom. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chofayom at Beis, states, Hareitze lahachkim, someone who wants to become wise, let him turn southward and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom. Haretzel Yashir, he wants to become wealthy. Yatspin, let him turn northward and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wealth. B'simonecho, what is the source of this? Menorah bedorim b'shulchan b'tzofen, because the menorah was in the south. And that represented the wisdom of Torah. And the table, which represents physical wealth, that was in the north. Another example, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, states Harogel ben Ner, someone who lights many candles all of the time. Neir shel mitzvahs, candles of mitzvahs. Havyin leibonim talmidei chachomim. He will be zeicher to have children, talmidei chachomim. This is a skula for good children who will grow great in Torah. Rashi says, he brings from Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, because Torah is always, Torah and mitzvahs are always represented by fire, by light. Al yedei ner mitzvah de Shabbos, the Chanukah, a person who is very scrupulous in the mitzvah of ner Shabbos, the candles of Shabbos or the candles of Chanukah, that's the ner mitzvah, bo or atera, he will bring in the light of Torah. And he will have children that will become Balei Torah, they will be masters of Torah. So, we have these questions. What did the menorah represent? And secondly, it seems like it was a duplication of the Oren. Because the Oren was light and the menorah was light. The Oren represented Torah and mitzvahs, and it seems that's what the menorah was representing. The Gemara Masechta Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says as follows. In later on, in Sefer Vayikra, Pasha Shmini, we have where it states Vayihi Bayem Shashmini, Kora Mesha La'arin Ulavonov Ulazikne Yisrael. It was on the eighth day. Moshe called Aaron and his sons and all of the elders of Israel. This was a very, very special day. The great Yantif in Israel. What was the Yantif on the eighth day? It was the eighth day of celebration, Shmini Limeluim, the eighth day of inaugurating the new Mishkan, the new sanctuary. And it came out on Reish Chedesh Nisan, this eighth day, first day of Nisan. And it was on this day that the Mishkan was erected permanently. Till then, during the entire 8 days, every day Mesha would erect it and they would take it down. On the eighth day it was erected and established permanently. And therefore it was a great Yontif. So the Gemara brings in Masechta Megillah that we make a Gzeira Shavah. States Vayihi Vayim Hashmini. And it vayihi is an expression, and it was on the eighth day. And it states, by the creation of the world, vayere vayiboke yom echod. And it was evening and day, the first day. Vayere vayiboke yom sheni. And it was the second day. This is the same expression which is used by Hashem when he created the world. So we make an equation between the two, a comparison. What do we learn from it? So the Gemara says, Osa hayom ha'iso simcha lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki yom shenivra bei shamayim va'aretz. On that day, when the sanctuary, the Mishkan, was permanently erected, was a yantif, a simcha to Hashem, like on the day when he created the world. Two things is meant here. One is it was a great simcha, a great joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but more than that, this was an exact equation between the creation of the world and between the erection of the Mishkan. Because the Medrash tells us in a number of places, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, that the Mishkan, the sanctuary, was like a creation of a world in itself, and it followed all of the pattern, the elements of the physical world. Just like the physical world has a light, Mishkan had a light. Just like the physical of the world had stars, the Mishkan had stars. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created the Mishkan, this was in a pattern similar to the way he created the world. Therefore, the two are at the same level and similar to each other. And therefore, it states, "Vayhi bayim hashmini," and it was on the eighth day, or "Vayhi erev vayboker yom echad,"
it was day, evening and day, during the first day of creation.
Actually, this is one of the reasons the Maral gives as why HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited to erect the Mishkan on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of Nisan. There is an opinion in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that the world was created on the first day of Nisan.
Now, so let's try to understand this a little better.
In the Mishkan, we have the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holy part, and then that what was even more holy. The main difference between the two is that the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was something that was not considered from this world. That was a place which was actually beyond this world, beyond the physical world. It was Nibdul. Therefore, there was nothing in that chamber except the Oren and the Sefer Torah and the tablets. The Medrash tells us it was Kula Or. It was all light, even though there was no physical light there whatsoever. But it emanated light. Because Torah itself emanates a spiritual light. And this was considered a level of eight. The Almighty created the world in how many days? 7 days. This was considered a level beyond that, a level of eight. Because Torah is a level of eight. Where do we see that? An example, when Torah was given to Israel into this world, it was given after the Sfiras HaOmer, after the counting of 7 weeks. In the beginning of the eighth week, it was given on the 50th day. And therefore, no one was ever allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, into that chamber, except the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And incidentally, the high priest, as we learn in this week's parsha, was the one who had Shmeina Begodim. He had 8 special garments he would wear all of the time, while the regular Kohanim had only 4. And even when he would go in, this was only on Yom Kippur. Only he could go in, and only on Yom Kippur. And this was because on Yom Kippur, Klal Yisrael rose beyond the physical world. As it states, "V'hoyu nekiim kebalachei ha'shores," they will be like the angels of above. So this was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In other words, just like in the world in general, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of spirit, which was slightly beyond this physical world of ours. This was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is what the Gemara means in Megillah, also on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Omar Ablevi. Ablevi said, "Dovezer meseres biyodeinu meaveseinu." We have a tradition from our fathers handed down. Mokum orein eino min amido. The Oren HaKodesh, the Ark, did not consume any space in that chamber. The Gemara makes a whole calculation of how large that chamber was, how large the Oren was, and how much space should have been left. After placing the Oren in that chamber, there should have been almost no space left. Yet there was as much space left as if the Oren was not in the chamber at all. Rashi brings in a eches lemayit midas karka lechol stod of kulam. It did not consume any physical space, even though we placed the physical Oren in there. because the Oren and the Sefer Torah
were not physical. This was the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. The Kodesh, the other chamber, that was something else. That represented this world, our world. And therefore there was the Mizbeach, the altar. The altar was very physical. We would sacrifice and it would atone for us. There was the table. The table was very physical. The fact is, the table represented the physical brochas, the physical blessings of the world. And there was the menorah. Now, the menorah had 7 candles, we learned. The reason why it had 7 candles is because this world was created in 7 days. So the menorah represented this world. Now, what was its purpose? Torah was given to the world. The Torah is beyond the world. It's the source of all of the light that comes into the world. It's the source of all of the barocha and the sanctity. But its place is beyond. It was created before the world and it encompasses the entire world. What is incumbent upon man, his responsibility, is to bring that Torah into this world, to attach himself to the spiritual source of Torah, but to bring it into the world, to light up this world with it, and to sanctify every part of this world with it. And this is what the menorah represented. Therefore, the menorah was in the Kodesh. It was in the outer chamber. It had 7 candles, as we mentioned. And the Kohen Hedyot. Every Kohen could go to it. Not only the Kohen Godel. And therefore, its manifestation was through light, because this represented the light of Torah, which was from above coming down into this world. But if we give some more thought to this, we'll see that there was a distinct difference between the light of the Oren and the light of the menorah. Firstly, the light of the Oren had no physical limitation. There was no physical light. It was kul or. It was just unlimited light. That's why it was called Oren. The light of the menorah was limited. It was a physical fire. It was in a cup. There was oil. There was a wick. Because this was the unlimited light of Torah coming into our limited physical world. A second distinction we see between the two. In the Oren, where the Sefer Torah was, nobody had to do anything. That light was always there. But when it came to the menorah, that light was there only if man lit the light. Every morning he had to go and cleanse the candles, put in fresh oil, put in fresh wicks, and every afternoon he had to go and ignite them. If he did not, then there was no light. Because
The light of Torah hovers over the world, but it is man's responsibility, it is Yisrael's responsibility to bring it down into this world. If they do, it will come. If not, there will be no light. So these were the two distinct differences. The light of the Oren was not physical. It was a total spiritual light, therefore it has no limitations whatsoever. But when it reaches this world, it has physical limitations. The light of the Oren was by itself, because Torah is Kula Or, it's all light. But to bring it down into this world, to light every part of this world with it, this requires man to do so. This requires the Kohanim. This requires Israel. And therefore the menorah had an avoda. The menorah had to be cleansed. The wicks had to be replenished. The oil had to be replenished. And it had to be lit every day if there was to be light. Now we can understand its position in the Mishkan. Its position was not to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but in the Kodesh. But at the same time, its position was to be just to the right, on the south side, just to the right of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the right of the Oren. Because as the spiritual light was drawn from the Torah, it was first drawn to the menorah, because it's the menorah that brought it into the world. And then from there it went to the Mizbeach and to the Shulchan to give the Kedusha, the sanctity, to the altar and to the Kahanim, the Keser Kohuna, and to give sanctity to the Shulchan, to the table, which was the Brocha and the sanctity for Keser Malchus, for that of royalty and power and wealth. A number of things can be understood and illustrate what we are speaking about. In the beginning of our Sedra, it states, Vayiko Eilecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, take for yourselves Shemen Zai Zoch, it should be a pure Aleph, Kosis, it should be pressed, Lamaor, for the light, Lahalis Ner Tomid, and in order to elevate a Ner Tomid, a Ner all of the time. So four things are mentioned here. Firstly, it should be Shemen Zai Zoch. It should be a pure olive oil, Kosis, which is pressed. Secondly, Lamor. It should be for the light. Thirdly, Lahalais, to elevate the light. And fourthly, Ner Tomid, where it should be a Ner all of the time. Now Rashi explains, not all oil was acceptable, was kosher for the menorah. Rashi says, Azesim hoyeketesh b'machteshes, b'einen techanin b'rechaim. They would take the olives and they wouldn't grind them up. Rather, they would press them. When they would press them, then the Shemen Rishon, the first oil, would come out. If they would grind them, then they would have oil together with pulp and the body of the olive. And this was not kosher for the menorah. For the menorah, there had to be tipa rishena, the first drop of oil that comes out, that you could press out before it was ground. Later then, they would grind it, and the second oil that would come out, that was possible the menorah, that was not acceptable for the menorah. But that was kosher la menoches, that could be used for sacrifices, but not for the menorah. The reason for this is because we want to bring in the pure light of Torah into the world. This was at its very source as it entered into the world. This was the job of the menorah. And therefore it had to be in the ultimate of purity. It could not be ma'uriv, mixed with other things.
Therefore, it had to be what was known as Shemen Risha in the first bit of oil that would come out, not the second bit, even though that was acceptable for other things, such as sacrifices. Then, it states, Lahalais, Ner Tomid, Lahalais. Lahalais means to bring up the light. The Gemara brings in Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph, Rashi brings. What does it mean to bring up the light? Madlikat shetei shal heves ole me alecho. The Kohen would hold the fire next to the ner, next to the particular candle, and he would keep it there until the shalheves would be ole me alecho, until the flame came up by itself. It wasn't sufficient merely to ignite it, but he had to hold it there until it was capable of burning by itself. Now, what did this represent? This represented when we're dealing with Torah, we're bringing the light of Torah into the world. We just have to ignite it. We just have to bring the light in. Once we bring the light in, then the Torah will light up the world by itself. The Kohen had to hold the fire by the candle until it caught. But once it caught well, then the shalheves was ele me'alecho. Then the fire burnt by itself. And that's why it always states lahalos, to bring out the fire, to bring up the fire of the menorah. Mahaleshecho. Then it states tomid. It should always be there. This fire should always be there. What does it mean, tomid? Rashi asks, it wasn't always there. It burnt every night, but during the day it did not burn. So Rashi tells us a very important principle. Something that is done constantly, and something that is done in a constant pattern, is considered tomid all of the time. This is very important for us to know. And this was by, this we find by many of the mitzvahs of the Mishkan. We live in a world today where there is no consistency, very little continuity, no stability. People are always saying one thing and doing another thing, undertaking to do something and then they stop. That lacks dedication. Without consistency, without continuity, a person cannot get very far. Commitment. People ask, well, for how long? They don't have a concept. Forever. See? Forever. An undertaking must be forever. A dedication must be forever. A commitment is always. And that's what we find by mitzvahs Hashem. If one would ask, for how long does one have to be a Jew? Forever. For how long does one have to be dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Forever. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dedicated to us forever. Therefore his mitzvahs were tomid all of the time. Today we're very remote from that, because people are afraid of commitments. This is why you have so much instability in the world, so much constant moving around in the world. You have so many changes of jobs all the time in the world, of careers, of marriages and so forth. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he talks of commitment, tomid all of the time, forever. So that's ner tomid, and especially by Torah. See, by Torah and mitzvahs, there must be a commitment forever. In other words, unreserved commitment, total commitment. It's interesting because by Aaron in Parshas Baal Eisekor, it states that Aaron lit the candles, leshino.
in no way did he deviate. There was this total commitment, unreserved. However, we find something even further though when it comes to Torah. This was by all mitzvahs and by all the sacrifices. They were done always on a regular basis. But we find something special by Torah. The Gemara brings in Masechet Shabbos and Chof Beis Omed Beis. The Gemara says that really near Tomid, incidentally, when we make shuls, a shul is called a Migdush Mi'at. It's called a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So we style it similar to the Beis HaMikdash. The bima that represents the Mishbeach Achitzen, the outer altar. So this is why in a shul you have a Ner Tomid, see? A candle, a light that's always there, that represented the menorah, the Ner Tomid. Now, the Gemara says, not only was it a Ner Tomid, was it always a candle, always lit, because every night it was lit without exception, but really it was always lit. The Gemara brings Edusi Lebay Olam. The menorah was testimony to all creations, Shehashchina Sheder BiYisrael, that the Shechina was with Israel. What was the testimony? Zuner Marovi, the western candle, Sheneisin Bo Shemen Kemidis Chavruseho. In the western candle, there was a discussion which candle was the western candle. There was a discussion which way in the Gemara, which way did the menorah face. We said that it was on the south side, but did it run across the Mishkan? In other words, it went from north to south, or did it run lengthwise, east to west? And therefore, there's also discussion as to which one was called the Ner Marovi. We'll take, for argument's sake, we will say that it went from north to south, the menorah, across, and then the Ner Marovi would be is called the center candle. The center candle was given the same amount of oil as all of the other candles. Umimeno hayumadlik, but in the morning, when the Kohen would come in to cleanse the candles, to take out the old oil and the old wicks and to replenish them, he would find that all of the candles had gone out, but the center candle was still burning. So he would replenish, clean and replenish all of the other candles, but he wouldn't touch the center candle. He would leave that. Then in the evening, before sunset, when he would come to light the candles, the center candle was still burning. So what he would do is light all of the other candles from the center candle. They had wicks that could be extended, so he would bring the wicks out of all of the other candles to the center candle and light them all from that. Then he would put out the center candle, take out the old oil, replenish it with new oil and new wicks, and light the center candle from the others. He would light the others from it, and then this would be the last one that would be lit for the others, even though it had the same amount of oil as any of the others. So this was a miracle which took place every day in the menorah. Every day. The miracle of the menorah was not only on Hanukkah. It took place every day. And this was Edus, this was a testimony that the Shechina was Sheira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is what is meant, Ner Tomid, that it should be always a candle lit, a fire lit. So there's two interpretations of Ner Tomid. But what we learned from here is because this was coming from the power of Torah, and by Torah there's no interruption. There's never an interruption to the light of Torah which is coming into the world. So therefore that candle was always lit. From
All of this we can understand better the Medrash. There's a number of Midrashim on our Parsha, at the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, Medrash Rabba Perek Lamed Vov, which we will quote some. In Os Beis, the Medrash brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu Yud Aleph. Zayis Ranon Yifei Pri To'ar Kora Hashem Shmeich. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has called you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Yisrael Zayis Ranon, a fertile, luscious olive tree with the most beautiful fruits. To'ar means the most beautiful looking fruits, or it can also mean from the word or, fruits that will give light. So the Gemara asks, says, why does Hashem call Yisrael an olive tree? Why does he compare them to olives? Kishem Shashemen Meir, just like oil gives light, Kach Beis Hamikdash Meir L'chol Olam, so did our Beis Hamikdash give light to the whole world, as it states, V'holchu Goyim L'orecho, that the nations of the world shall walk in your light. L'chein Nikro Yisrael Zayis Ranon, therefore Yisrael are called a fertile olive tree, Shehem Me'irim L'chol, because this light of the Beis Hamikdash, how did the Beis Hamikdash give light? The Beis Hamikdash gave light because Yisrael brought the light of the Torah into the world. It came from the Oren to the menorah, and Yisrael would bring it from the menorah into the world. Therefore, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Moshe, V'yikha elecho shemen zay zoch, bring for yourselves pure olive oil for the menorah. Leishani tzorech lehem. He said, don't make a mistake. It's not that I need the light. Ela she'to'ir ruli k'shem sha'arti lochem. But I want you to light up the world for me like I have lit up the world for you. Lama k'dei lahalis lochem eschem bifnei kolu umes. In order that you shall make a light for all of the nations of the world. Yisrael me'irim l'misha me'er lakol. Yisrael will bring light to the world. This could also be the interpretation that in Parshas Ba'alei Shachar it states that when they sanctified the new altar, all of the princes brought, the prince of every tribe, they brought gifts for the sanctification of the new altar, and Aaron was left out, and he felt badly, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you have something better to do. Your job will be to light the menorah, because when it came to the altar, that was lechaper, that was to atone on the sins of Israel. That was something that Israel were not doing. Hashem did it. The most difficult task in the world is not kapora, not to be atoned. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most difficult task in the world is to bring His Torah down into this world. And that was brought through lighting the menorah. And He said, your job is greater. And perhaps with this we can understand the Gemara in Menaches. It's also brought in the Medrash. Rashi brings it a number of places. Tav Chof Tes. That when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe how to construct the menorah, Moshe could not understand it. He had difficulty. Niskasha lasiyas menorah. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him a picture of it in the heavens, and it states te'oser, and finally it was made by itself. And the Gemara says it's called Menorah HaTohora Shiyodo Maaseu Mimokum Tohora, because it came from the highest sources. What was Moshe having difficulty? He knew that there's a great Torah, but the place of the Torah is a little beyond the world. How is it possible that Torah can come into this world and give sanctification, give purity, give a holiness, and give light to every part of this world where it can be elevated to the highest levels? This is what he was having difficulty understanding, and this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him that could be done. The Medrash tells us further. The Medrash says there are a number of reasons. Charles, could you just open that door? The Medrash says that there are a number of reasons why Yisrael is similar to an olive. An olive is a very strange fruit. It has a number of uniquenesses in it. It says that in order to bring the oil out of the olive, there are a number of severe avodas koshes, difficult tasks. First, you have to, it doesn't all ripen at the same time, so they have to go and allocate certain ones on the tree. Then they have to pick them. Then they have to press them. Then they have to crush them. Then they crush them further with heavy stones and boards. Then it gives forth its oil. Now, when does it give forth its pure oil? Only after it's picked, it's plucked, it's pressed, it's crushed further. It says Yisrael's also like that. Yisrael comes to their greatest when they are crushed by enormous tasks, enormous challenges, enormous difficulties. Then they bring forth their best oil, like the aleph. And this is the quality of Torah. It states in our Torah, Miskayemes ela b'misha meimis atzmei ala Torah. Someone who is not, does not labor in Torah, who takes it easy, he will not bring forth Torah. But someone who's prepared to labor day and night, and to go through all sorts of difficulties for Torah, just like the olive, the more you crush it, the better the oil becomes. So is it with Torah. Then the Medrash tells us another strange thing with the olive. Kol ha-mashkin mis'arvin zeh b'zeh. When you take all types of fruit and you squeeze out their juices, they'll all mix together. You can mix them together. The olive is not very sociable. He will never be misarev. He'll never mix with anyone else. When you mix olive oil together with other liquids, he will not mix. He will always stay by himself. Kach Yisrael. So is it with Yisrael. As I call it, they will not mix with other nations. No matter how many nations they go to, they stay by themselves. As it states, Leisichatenbom. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, do not mix and assimilate with other nations. What does this represent? This represents the purity and the achdus, the purity and their singleness. They are a united nation like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they will not mix with others. Another point. All types of liquids and fluids you can mix together, and you will not know which is on the bottom and which is on the top. But the olive, when you put his oil in, he'll always float to the top, always be on the top. Kach Yisrael, so is it with Yisrael. When they do the Tzeinish Shel Mokin, when they perform the will of the Almighty, no matter who they're mixed with, they will always float to the top. And then the Medrash tells us, the Medrash says, the Aleph, which is the light of the Torah, it gives light to the person when he occupies himself with Torah. The person who does not occupy himself with Torah, then he's in darkness. So as an example, someone who walks in darkness, heaven forbid, he can trip over a stone, he can fall into water, he can, heaven forbid, kill himself. The same thing, it says, a person that does not study Torah, he walks in the darkness. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do and what he's not supposed to do. Heaven forbid, he can lose his life. But the one who studies Torah, so the Torah gives light like the Aleph. And then finally, the Medrash tells us, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yehi neiri biyodcho v'nercho biyodi. He says, my candle, my light, I give to you. Your candle, I will take care of. What is the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Torah, as it states in the mitzvah v'Torah or. And whoever does a mitzvah, it's as if he lights a candle before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will add to his life, as it states, Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom. Because the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Torah, the light of the man is his soul. He said, my light I put in your hands, your light you put in my hands. If you take care of my light, my Torah, I will take care of your light, your neshama. Therefore, you do a mitzvah, you bring life to your neshama. And what is Torah or? Many times a person wants to do a mitzvah, and his yetzer hara doesn't allow him to do it. For example, he wants to give stocker to someone, he wants to do something that is going to cost him money. As yetzer hara says, don't give it away, give it to your children. But the Yetzer Tov tells him to give it. Now, when you have a fire, you can light 1,000 candles from that fire, and it will not take away from that fire. That is the same thing with the Torah. When you do mitzvahs, you can do 1,000 mitzvahs, it will not take away from your light. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't be afraid to do mitzvahs, because mitzvahs are like a light. And just like when you have a light, as many candles you light from it, you will not take from it. The same thing when you have mitzvahs, no matter how many mitzvahs you will do, it will not be machaseh, it will not take away from you. So these are many of the droshos that the Medrash darshans from this of Vayikhu Eilecho Shemen Zayizuch, that you should take for yourself this pure olive oil. This gives us somewhat of an insight of what the menorah was and what was its purpose in the Mishkan and in the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.